WMFO Medford. Welcome to Acoustic Ceiling. I am your host, Vin Magazzini, and today's show will feature ELP, Glenn Gould, Lead Belly, The Cure, and a whole lot of other fine bits. So make sure you stick around. Follow this program, this addition to Acoustic Ceiling, under Glenn Gould and Vin Variations, and it'll begin in just a moment.
Hey America, we need to have loads of. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. Luckily, the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food anchors. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We can solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website, duh. You can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And your friends right here on WMFO Medford. So great to be with you. Acoustic Ceiling begins now. WMFO Medford.
The possum up the cinnamon tree. The possum is down on blue rooftop heat.
Thank you. lips on the land. The long breezes are blowing all down the sky into my face. I've a weary kind of feeling, like my time has come and gone to waste. Darling Josie, the trees of pine, they grow so tall. How come you came to love me when you didn't love me at all? Josie, I won't fail ya, I won't fail you, have no fear. Josie, I won't fail ya, give me one more chance. Is near. My Josie looks a child now as she lies here on my breast. In the night I think about her, in the day I get no rest. I cut me a young pine cone and I give it to the river deep. It's away by your window where you lay so long in sleep. God bless you, darling Josie, with your sparkling eyes, so bright and clear. Josie, I won't fail ya, I won't fail you, have no fear. Josie, I won't fail ya, I won't fail you, have no fear. Josie, I won't fail ya, give me one more chance.
Donovan right there with Josie from Try for the Sun. Before that was Harry McClintock, that is. Harry McClintock with the Big Rock Candy Mountain. That's from the soundtrack of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And we started the program off with ELP. We heard Old Blue from a 1971 live concert. It's WMFO, and today's show I'm featuring Glenn Gould. And if you don't know about Glenn Gould, you should check out his Goldberg Variations. Really wonderful stuff. And he was a great interview also. And I have a bit of an interview I want to play for you, and play his music and play lots and lots of music. He did the complete Goldberg Variations in 1955 and 1981. And some say no one has ever done them better. Here's a bit of Glenn Gould talking about his art.
Oh, sure. You mean the sort of thing where the interviewer will begin with something like, Sir Don, how do you feel now about your classic Oscar-winning performance in Bridge on the River Hudson?
Bridge on the River Hudson? Oh, yes, I say. That was the film we did in America, wasn't it? Yes, back in the 50s, I think, yes. Well, deucedly awkward location, you know. Thoroughly contaminated stream, thoroughly, yes. Marshy, swampland indeed. Mosquitoes even, the odd black fly, don't you know. No sense of landscape architecture of the Americans. Badly groomed shoreline, I can tell you. Nothing like the Upper Thames, you know. No, not at all. No.
But did you see the picture, Sir John?
Oh, the picture. No, I never saw the picture in its entirety. Of course not. It did drop in at the Dailies once. I rather fancied that spot where Sir Arthur lost a busload or two of commuters when the center span gave way. Of course, he was a stickler for detail. None of those bathtub mock-ups for him, I can tell you. No, not at all.
Well, thank you, Sir John. Don't call us. We'll call you.
Yes, but please do.
So anyway, Glenn, unlike Sir John, you do revisit the scenes of your discographic youth from time to time.
Oh, sure, of course I do, though I will admit that specifically in the case of the Goldberg Variations, with a bit more reluctance than is usual for me, a bit more from a sense of duty than enthusiasm, perhaps.
This is, in fact, your very first recording.
Yeah, indeed, so I have a lot of revisiting to do, I
suppose. I'm surprised that you don't like it better, because I find it, as I wrote in an article not too long ago, mm-hmm. Critics always love to quote themselves, that it's a performance of originality, intelligence, and fire.
Well, I thank you for that comment. I was very touched by it when I read it, and I don't quite share it.
Well, when did you last listen to this record?
Oh, let's see. I listened to it about 3 or 4 days before I went to New York to re-record it, and that would be in April 1981. I just sort of wanted to remind myself, you know, of what it was like. And to be honest, and I don't mean to sound like our friend Sir John over there, it had, at that point, been so many years since I'd heard it that I really was curious about what I would find.
What did you find?
I found that it was a rather spooky experience. I listened to it with great pleasure in many respects. I found, for example, that it had a real sense of humor, I think, all sorts of perky, spiky accents and so on that gave it a certain buoyancy.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that I recognized at all points, really, the fingerprints of the party responsible. I mean, from a tactile standpoint, from a purely mechanical standpoint, my approach to playing the piano, you know, really hasn't changed all that much over the years. It's remained quite stable, I think. Static, some people might prefer to say. So I recognize the fingerprints, but, and it is a very big but, I could not recognize or identify with the spirit of the person who made that recording. It really seemed like some other. Thank you.
the big screen that showed us the sun, but not as bright in life as the real one. It's never quite the same as the real one. And tell me, Gracie, how does it feel to be so wise, to see through eyes that only see what's real? Tell me, Gracie. I never learned why media's Your mission bells were wrought by ancient men. The roots were formed by twisted roots. Your roots were twisted then. I was reborn before all life could die. The phoenix bird will leave this world to fly. If the phoenix bird can fly, then so can I.
South side of the town, on the wrong side of the tracks. Sometimes on the way into town, we say, Mama, can't we stop and give a ride? Sometimes we did, but she shook her head and her hands flew from her side. Thank you. she backed outside my windowsill. Dreamed I was flying high above the trees and over the hills. Looked down into the house of Mary. Barebone hung there, newspaper covered walls. Mary rising up above it all. Follow them around, over the curve, through the field, into the house, Mary. What would you fear most? What made you halfway? What would you fear most? What made you halfway? Take a bottle, drink it down, pass it around.
Now, you'll find, I think, that the quarter notes in the first half are almost identical to the dotted quarter notes in the second half. In other words, four bars of the second half of the Fugetta is approximately equal to one bar of the opening overture section. So the relationship, then, is something like this.
I see. Now, what happens in the next variation, in variation 17?
Well, now, that was a bit more complicated, because it's written in three-quarter time, with three-quarter notes to the bar. There's nothing complicated about that, as Johann Strauss can pretty conclusively prove. But what was complicated was that I wanted to relate it somehow to the Fugetta from variation 16, with its 3/8 time signature. And, in fact, at first I considered just taking the beat from the full bar, the dotted quarter note of the Fugetta, and making that beat equivalent to the beat of the undotted quarter, if I can coin a word, of variation 17. Now, that would have resulted in a tempo something like, which sounds okay, maybe second, I don't know, but variation 17 cherishes the skittish, like
the feeling that I have fighting here for you in summer. You don't know how many times I've wished that I
someone who could cherish me as much as I cherish you. Perish is a word that more than applies to the hope in my heart each time I cherish as much as I do yours. Oh, I'm beginning to think that man has never found the words that could make you want me, that have the right amount of letters, just the right sound that could make you hear, make you see that you are driving me out of my mind. Say I need you, but then you'd realize that I want you, just like a thousand other guys would say they loved you with all the rest of their lies, when all they wanted was to touch your face, your hands, and gaze into your eyes. Cherish is the word to describe all the feeling that I have hiding here for you inside. You don't know how many times I wish that I had told you. You don't know how many times I wish that I could hold you. You don't know how many times I wish that I could mold you into someone who could cherish me as much as I cherish you.
Great protector, is that what I'm supposed to be? What if all this counts for nothing? Everything I thought I'd be. What if by the time I realize it's too far behind to see? 70 mil projector, I can show you everything, yeah. And we're on our way to glory, where the show won't ever end, and the encore lasts forever, and it's time with you to spend. Spending the years together, hope the encore lasts forever. Now there's time for us to spend, and it's sublime with you, my friend. This right here still feels like the honeymoon when you say my name. Nothing's changed, I'm still a boy inside my thoughts. Am I meant to understand my thank you. I'll do the same as you, I'll try and hold it up. Soon I hope, or as soon as I'm old enough.
Violent Femmes with Old Mother Reagan. This is WMFO in Medford. This is a program featuring Glenn Gould and his music, and I'll share some more. Here we go.
Glenn, I do see your point. Mm-hmm. The 1955 version of this variation is definitely more romantic, or yeah. If you prefer, more pianistic.
Yeah, exactly.
And I dare say that no discussion of Bach would be complete without taking a crack at that old, somewhat tired question of the choice of instrument,
yeah.
The piano versus the harpsichord and you know,
that,
so
yeah.
on. Yeah.
No, I dare say not. You know, somebody said to me the other day that now that the forte piano has staged such a remarkable comeback for, you know, Mozart and Beethoven and so on, and now that people are playing Chopin on period play-outs or whatever, In no time at all, there'll be nothing left for the contemporary piano to do except maybe the Rachmaninoff third. And even that, if you take these archaeological pursuits to their illogical extremes, should really be played on a turn-of-the-century German Steinway or maybe a Bechstein.
That's really true.
Yeah, well, I think, frankly, that the whole issue of Bach on the piano is a red herring. I love the harpsichord. Mm-hmm. As you know, I made a harpsichord record some years ago.
Oh, sure, the Handel Suite.
Yeah, and I'm very fond of the forte piano in such things as Mozart concertos and so forth. So I'm certainly not going to sit here and argue that the modern piano has some intrinsic value just because of its modernness. I'm not going to argue that new is better. You know, new is simply new. But having said that, I must also say that the piano at its best offers a range of articulation that far surpasses any older instrument, that it actually can be made to serve the contrapuntal qualities of Bach, for example, the linear concepts of Bach, in a way that the harpsichord, for all its beauty and charm and authenticity, you know, cannot.
Well, I feel a little bit like I'm needling you, but it's been remarked by just about everybody at one time or another that your pianos actually always seem to end up sounding a bit like surrogate harpsichords. And I don't know whether it's because of the way you play these instruments or the way you have them adjusted.
Well, I think it's a combination. You know, I've always believed, you see, Tim, that one should start by worrying about the action of the instrument, not the sound. If you regulate an action with enormous care, make it so even and responsive and articulate that it just sort of sits there and looks at you and says, you want to play this in E-flat, right? You know, that it virtually plays itself, in other words. Then the tone will just take care of itself, because the tone, the sound, whatever you want to call it, that one produces really ought to be part of the interpretive concept of the piece. And if you're dealing with an action that's totally responsive, you know, you are then free to really concentrate exclusively on the concept in all of its facets, which includes the tone.
Nevertheless, the tone quality in all your records, certainly all your Bach records, is remarkably similar. Mm-hmm. It's consistently crisp, a little dry perhaps, astonishingly varied in its détaché way. As a matter of fact, it's often been likened to an X-ray of the music.
Well, thank you. I take that as a compliment.
Oh, it's actually meant to be.
Thank you again. Well, you know, there are certain personal taboos, especially in playing Bach, that I almost never violate.
Well, I know one of them for sure. You never use the sustaining pill.
That's right.
Because I saw that German television film that was made when you actually recorded the new Goldbergs, and it was honestly rather astonishing to see you sitting there 13 inches off the floor in your stocking feet, and when the camera pulled back, they were nowhere near the sustaining pedal. But you do use the soft pedal a good deal.
Yes, I do. Because by playing on two strings instead of three, you get a much more specific, much leaner quality of sound. But I think really that the primary tonal concept that I maintain with regard to Bach is that of, well, I think you use the word détaché, but it's the idea anyway that a non-legato state, a non-legato relationship, a pointillistic relationship, if you want, between two consecutive notes is the norm, not the exception. That the legato link, indeed, is the exception.
You realize, of course, that you're turning the basic premise of piano playing inside out.
We're trying to, anyway.
Try to lay your funny ways on me. I know that And every time I look at you, you'll be who I want you to. And I'll do what I can do to make a dream or two come true. If you be my number two.
Is here to stay, not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time may go. But oh, my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time, the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. But our love is here to stay. In time, the legs may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. But our love is here to stay.
Raindrops keep falling on my head, just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed. Nothing seems to fit. Oh, raindrops keep falling on my head, keep on falling, 'cause I just done me some talking to the sun. And I said I didn't like the way he got things done, sleeping on the job. Oh, raindrops keep falling on my head, keep on falling. But there's one thing I know, the blues they sent to meet me, won't they fit me up on? Well, until happiness comes up to greet me, to greet, 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 greet me. Raindrops keep falling on my head, doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I ain't gonna stop the rain by complaining. Falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I ain't gonna stop the rain by complaining. Because I'm free, nothing's bothering me. I'm free, and nothing's bothering me, because I'm free, and nothing's bothering me, because I'm free, and nothing's bothering me.
Including the program's music is Glenn Gould, of course, from Goldberg Variations, Glenn Gould. And it's time for the rundown. We'll have Glenn Gould in the background. On today's Acoustic Sailing, you heard the following selections. We started the program off with ELP with Old Blue from a 1971 live recording. Then it was Harry McClintock with The Big Rock Candy Mountain from Oh Brother Where Art Thou. Donovan gave us Josie from Tribe for the Sun. We had a Glenn Gould interview that can be found on A State of Wonder. It's where Glenn Gould talked to Tim Page, and we heard little excerpts from that wonderful interview, sadly shortly before Glenn Gould passed away. After the interview, or section of it, we heard Capriccio from the Bach Partitas, and then we heard Saraband from Glenn Gould, also from the Bach Partitas. Elton John was in there with Gray Seal from his album Elton John. Victoria Williams gave us Crazy Mary from Loose, and that was Crazy Mary, the Victoria Williams song. It was not written by Pearl Jam. We heard a little of the Glenn Gould interview again, followed by The Association singing Cherish from their Greatest Hits record. Rex Orange County gave us Pluto Projector, from Pony. Lots of P's in that. Steve Folter was in there with To Tell the Truth from Time and a Half. Violent Femmes gave us Old Mother Reagan from their Greatest Hits. Add it up. And then Glenn Gould gave us an interview. We heard Glenn Gould's Fugata from the Bach Partitas. And finishing the program was Joe Jackson with Be My Number Two from his Greatest Hits. Love Is Here to Stay by Nat King Cole from the complete George Gershwin collection. Manic Street Preachers sang Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head from Help, a charity disc that had a lot of great stuff on it. And that concludes Glenn Gould and Vin Variations. This is Acoustic Ceiling, and today's show is a little bit different. A lot of times I rock out or play more of a indie spirit or cutting edge, abrasive show, but I like to mix it up. I like to play all kinds of different songs and different feelings, different ideas. It's non-commercial radio, it's freeform, it's exciting and spontaneous. It's time for a little bit of trivia. These are the first words from what film? Name the film. All right, Curly, enough's enough. You can't eat the Venetian blinds. I just had them installed on Wednesday. What is that from? Can you name the film? Again, I'll say it. If you got it, great. If you didn't, I'll try it one more time. Think about it. All right, Curly, enough's enough. You can't eat the Venetian blinds. I just had them installed on Wednesday. That is from, drum roll, frog roll. It's from Chinatown. Those are the first words that Jack Nicholson's character says in the classic Roman Polanski film, Chinatown. That film was released in 1974, and Jack Nicholson plays the lead role. He plays Private Eye Jake Gitz, or Giddies. I need to see the film again. I forget how you pronounce it. Anyway, this is WMFO in Medford. It's been a treat playing all this music, and I hope you continue listening. There's all kinds of programs. There's DJs who are disc jockeys from the university and the community, and we're all here because we all love music and we all love WMFO. I will talk to you next week. Remember the words of Mark Twain: the two most important days in your life are, one, the day you were born, and two, the day you find out the reason why. I'll talk to you next week, and keep listening to this station, WMFO Medford. Thank you.
COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air. We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.